Shabbat shalom. God is good, isn't he? I'm going to ask you to bear with me this evening because I know the time is a little fragmented here. I'm going to just step down if I can, okay? That gives me a little more freedom to run if somebody gets mad at me. But it's good to be here. Kathleen and I have really come to love this congregation. This is like a second spiritual family to us, and we really appreciate you guys and love you guys. And so it's good to be here. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 144. I've got a special message for you tonight. I believe it's a timely message. And I believe it's a message that will encourage your hearts as you're going through this season. How many know we are the army of God? How many know we have a big job in front of us? I mean, the forces of darkness have encased, enclosed the entire earth and all the people thereof. And a few, by the power and the grace of God, have been able to escape that through the blood of Yeshua. And we call those people believers. That's you and I. And we have escaped. But how many know that's not the end of the story? The story now is, for those of us that have been set free, because if the Son has set you free, then you are free indeed. And if you've been set free, it is your obligation, it is your job, it is your duty to go back into that darkness and rescue people out. Amen. We should be praying every day, Lord, give me souls. Give me souls, men, women, and children, that I might snatch them out of the kingdom of darkness for Yeshua. Amen. We are at war. And look what the psalmist David says in Psalm 144 and verse 1. He says, "Blessed be Adonai, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." He has trained us for this battle. He has called us to this battle. He has equipped us for this battle. And he will give us the victory in this battle. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "For although we do live in the world, we do not wage war in a worldly way. Because the weapons we use to wage war are not worldly. On the contrary, they have God's power for demolishing strongholds." You know, that's what happened tonight in many people's lives up here. There were strongholds that have been demolished. And listen, that's not just for a worship service. We need to be demolishing strongholds every day. Every morning when we wake up, we go out into the darkness and we are called upon to demolish strongholds that keep people from experiencing the love and the presence of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen? We demolish arguments. How many have run into an argument against the blood of Yeshua? We demolish arguments and every arrogance that raises itself up against the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive and we make it obey Messiah. And when you have become completely obedient, then we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience. Amen. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, grow powerful in union with the Lord, in union with His mighty strength. Use all the armor and the weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Rabbi Shaul goes on, he says, so take up every piece of war equipment God provides, so that when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist. And when the battle is won, you will still be standing. Amen. I love that last little phrase. And when the battle is won, you will still be standing. Sometimes I wonder if I'll still be standing when the battle ends. I have no doubt about the outcome of the battle. My only challenge is, will I still be standing when it's all said and done? When the dust settles, will I still be on my feet? And the thing that is going to ensure that I'm on my feet and you are on your feet is when we cover each other's spiritual backs with much prayer. I need your prayers, and you need my prayers. Look, we're in this together. Christianity, I've heard so many Christians say, so many believers say, it's me and God. It's not me and God. It's us and God. Amen? It's us and God. And God has designed it that way so you and I can win this battle together by the blood of Yeshua and then in the strength of His Holy Spirit. And when the battle is won, you and I will still be standing. I love it when people come to altar calls, when they come and they respond to a word of the Lord, when they're faltering. You know, it's so much easier to sit in your seat and say, well, I don't have any problems. I'm doing just fine. But it's much more valuable when you come and you receive that prayer from people that love you. Because I want to see you standing the next time I come up here. Amen. When the battle is won, I want to see you standing. Amen. I want to begin by just saying the reason I'm speaking about this is because, of course, this body is going through a tremendous amount of attack. As you know, I don't need to expound on the details and the circumstances. You've been hit. You've been hit hard. The reason you've been hit hard is because you are a threat to the devil. That's the deal. The devil does not hassle believers that are of no consequence or no threat. That's just how it is. If you want to infringe on the devil's rights and on his territory, you're in for a fight. It's just that simple. And you, at Beth David, you've done that. You have infringed on his turf. And I just want to praise you guys and bring praise to your leadership, your board, and to the congregation here for your faithfulness and your resolve in standing together in this time. It's a dark season in your history. That's okay. The morning will dawn. We don't know when or how. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we know the morning will come. Is that not right? And so I just praise you guys. High adoration for your willingness to stand firm and fight on the devil's ground. I want to share with you that the board is waiting on the Lord and developing vision for this congregation. Because the vision's been shaken. The enemy came in with a slap upside the head. We never saw it coming. And yet he has done some devastating stuff. And so your leadership is getting before God and getting vision. How many know when you get shaken in your faith, sometimes your vision gets shaken? It happens to all of us on an individual level. It happens to churches and congregations on a congregational level. That's just how it is. It's warfare. But they are developing a vision, and they'll be sharing that vision with you guys soon. And I want to tell you, it's going to be an exciting vision. It's very exciting what God is about to do with this congregation. Amen? Don't be afraid to say amen. Okay. The board is structuring the congregation in such a way that every single one of you is going to know where you fit here and how you can serve the Lord here. Because our job as an army is to get everybody fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? And I want to share with you that the vision is so big that the leadership here needs every single one of you to get on board. Why do I say it's so big? Listen, I believe the biggest single move of God in my 30 years of preaching is happening right now, and it's called the Messianic and the One New Man Movement. I believe it is a move of God. It is certainly not the only thing God's doing, but it is a big thing. Because I tell you, the Lord is not going to return until the people of Israel grow jealous, which we are called upon to make them jealous. And they begin to shout out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When the Jewish people begin to discover their Messiah, we can start looking for the return of the Lord. And the Jewish people are not going to be looking for Messiah. They're not going to be looking to us and having that jealousy rise up in their spirits until we start doing the things that are called upon in the Word of God to be doing, such as Shabbat, such as Purim, the festivals. Amen? God is calling us to these things. This is a big vision because you are one of the few, perhaps the only Messianic congregation in this valley. Do you think that's a high call? If this is indeed what I'm telling you it is, one of the biggest moves of God in my lifetime, then I want to tell you, you have been chosen for such a time as this, and you are part of what God is doing here. God wants to use you to reach out both to non-believers who need Yeshua. We never give up on that. But also, and equally important, he is calling upon you and I to reach into the church and help the church to develop a deeper, more intimate, biblical walk with the Lord. That's a big call. And if you don't think the devil's not going to contest it, you're wrong. He is going to contest it, and in fact, he has contested it. And he has slapped us. Now, I know that everyone here, leadership and everyone in the seats, are praying for complete restoration in the future for your rabbi. And that is the hope and the desire, and that is the goal of the board. That is the direction we're taking. We are standing in faith, believing that he will be, in fact, restored to his position right here by the grace of God. Because let me tell you something about men in the pulpit. We are no different than you. We've got all our struggles, maybe more. We've got, I think, more attack than the average believer. And we need more prayer than the average believer. I just think that's how it is. And I think that the enemy snuck in. But I don't think it's over yet. I'm not accepting that. That's not acceptable to me. Listen, it's not over till the Holy Spirit sings. Now, with that said, let me say this. I've got a prophetic teaching for you tonight. Prophetic. The Lord gave me this teaching, and I want to share it with you. Hopefully we can cut into some of our oneg time and feed on the Word of God. Does that sound good to you? I promise I'm going to get you out of here, and we're going to get back to the tables. But I want to give you this word, because I believe this is a word for this congregation for right now, and I believe it's from the throne. And I believe it'll be a word that strengthens you in your spirit. I believe it is a word that will strengthen your hearts for the fight that's ahead. Amen? Amen. As I said before, we are an army. Every army is built with brave leaders and willing people. Is that correct? Brave leaders and willing people. And that's what I'm calling this message tonight. Brave leaders and willing people. Okay? And that's what we're talking. That's what we need. Now, there's a couple of things that I believe the Lord is wanting to do. I believe there's a couple of prevailing attitudes in the body of Yeshua that need to be dealt with, both with the leaders and with the people. In the leadership, I believe that the Lord wants to deal with attitudes of compromise by leadership in the church, leadership in the congregation. Leaders need not to compromise on any angle, on any avenue, on any subject at any time. That does not mean that we don't listen. That doesn't mean that we don't listen to our leaders and our board and our people, and most of all, of course, to the Lord. But I'm talking about compromising. Leaders need to be solid in faith today. Leaders need to be solid in teaching, and leaders need to be solid in integrity. You cannot have a good, strong leadership without any of those three things. Faith, teaching, and integrity. And so if you are a leadership type in this church, I'm speaking to you. I don't care how much scripture you can quote. Quoting scripture doesn't make you a leader in God, amongst God's people. Listen, the devil can quote more scripture than all of us put together. Not that quoting scripture is bad or wrong, but it doesn't make you a leader. What makes you a leader is your faith, teaching the Word of God solidly, and having no compromise whatsoever of integrity in your life. Amen? And I believe a prevailing attitude the Lord wants to work with people in the congregations is rebellion, lethargy, and unwillingness to follow. In other words, I'm going to do it my way. Listen, Frank Sinatra tried to do it his way. Didn't pay off. You haven't been called to do it your way. You have been called, if you're a person sitting in the congregation, to get behind your leadership and do whatever it is that you can do. What are you gifted for? The Word of God clearly tells us that every single person sitting here tonight has a gift from God. Is that correct? And he also says that your gift makes a place for you. So the first thing you need to do is figure out what your gift is. Once you figure out your gift, what it is, and the leadership recognizes that in you, you can begin to come together, match up, and begin to serve the Lord in the fullness to which he's called you. Amen? Now, our text for today is Judges chapter 4. So why don't you turn over there, the book of Judges, in chapter 4. This is not a long teaching tonight. And as you're turning there, most of you know the story, and I just want to kind of recap it. Judges chapter 4 is a time in Israel's history when the leaders were missing in action. For whatever reason, they were missing in action, and the people were unwilling to move forward. That was the setting for Judges chapter 4. Let's read verses 1 through 3. But after Ehud had died, the people of Israel again did what was evil in Adonai's perspective. So Adonai handed them over to Yavin, king of Canaan. He ruled from Hazor, and the commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Heroshet Hagoyim. The people of Israel cried out to Adonai because he had 900 iron chariots, and for 20 years he cruelly oppressed the people of Israel. And now jump over to chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Kind of expounds on the story a little bit. It says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anat, in the days of Yael, the main roads were deserted. Travelers walked by byways. The rulers ceased in Israel. They ceased until you arose, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Now, I don't even need to expound on this. You can understand what this teaching is talking about for this congregation. Can you not? One, can you understand what this teaching is talking about? Okay. I'm going to ask questions at the end. Judges 4, verse 4. Now, Deborah, a woman and a prophet, the wife of Lapidot, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under Deborah's palm between Ramah and Beit El in the hills of Ephraim, and the people of Israel would come to her for judgment. Now, let me share with you what these words, these names are telling us. Because this is a word to the leadership here. This is what the leadership needs to grab hold of. And in fact, this is what the leadership is grabbing hold of. I'm very proud of them because they have really rallied and jumped into their positions and their duties as they are rallying together to bring new forward movement into the congregation here. The name Deborah is a word, a Hebrew word that means a word. Devarim, Deuteronomy, is a word. Okay? It means a word. The name Ramah means elevated. Beit El, house of God. Ephraim means to bring forth fruit. Amen? So we could translate this verse, 4:4, this way. A word elevated or lifted up from the house of God brings forth fruit. That's what the Lord is saying here. Don't you know that every name in the Word of God means something? It's important. When you study the Word, dig into the names. Find out what they mean because the names tell a story. And so a word elevated or lifted up from the house of God brings forth fruit. And so to the leadership, I would say bring forth a word from God. Let it be elevated in this place and it will bring forth much fruit. Amen? In verse 6, she sent for Barak, the son of Avinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and she said to him, Adonai has given you this order. Go, march to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men from the people of Naphtali and Zebulun. Let me share with you what these names mean. Barak can be translated thunder. Thunder. Avinoam means the father of beauty. The word Kadesh, holy. Naphtali means fight. Tabor means choice. And Zebulun means habitation. So here's the word. By a word, thunder from the Father of beauty has summoned for the holy fight. And the Lord has commanded us to go to the place of choice and take 10,000 who will fight for the right of habitation. Somebody say, Amen. Amen. This is what the Lord is calling and directing your leadership towards. Brave leaders. Brave leaders do what God has called them to do. Is that correct? We go on in this story in verse 7. I will cause Sisera, the commander of Yavin's army, to encounter you at the Kishon River with his chariots and troops, and I will hand him over to you. Barak answered her, if you will go with me, I'll go. But if you won't go with me, I won't go. She replied, yes, I will gladly go with you, But the way you are doing it will bring you no glory, because Adonai will hand Sisera over to a woman." Then Deborah set out and went with Barak to Kadesh. Amen. So a final word for the brave leaders is this. And if you count yourself as a leader, then I'm talking to you. I'm speaking mostly to the board here. But if you're a leader in this congregation, I know there's many leaders out in the seats. And if you consider yourself to be a leader, this word is for you. To get a word from God. Not your own opinion. How many know nobody wants your opinion? It's nothing personal. But you don't want me to come here and give my opinion, do you? You want me to come and give the word of God. And that's what other people want from you. They want you to be giving to them, feeding them on the word of God. Your opinion is fine. You're entitled to it. But it doesn't mean much in God's economy. Amen. Is that right? Judges 5:12 says this. "Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, break into song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives, son of Avinoam." Then a remnant of the nobles marched down. The people of Adonai marched down to me like warriors. Amen. I believe that as your leadership continues to seek God in these desperate times, in these hard times that you're facing, as they get the word of the Lord for you, they will need your help. They will need you to rally behind them. As they share the vision, you will be amazed at what God wants to do in your midst. Great things, big things in the Central Valley and beyond. And beyond. This is a call to the world. This is a call to the nations. Amen? Now let me give a word to the people. Because we have brave leaders in an army, and we have willing people in an army. Amen? So for willing people, we looked at Judges 5, and we start in verse 14. "From Ephraim came those rooted in Amalek. Behind you, Binyamin is with your peoples. From Machor, the commanders marched down. And from Zebulun, those holding the muster staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Issachar, along with Barak, into the valley they rushed forth behind him." Now, Issachar, for the sake of time, we won't go there, but you can mark it in your notes. 1 Chronicles 12:32 tells us that Issachar are those who understand the times. That's what Issachar means. Those who understand the times. Issachar was a tribe that understood the times. They understood that God was using Deborah in this season to fight a good fight of faith. And Issachar rallied. They were a people who understood the times. And I need to ask you tonight, are you an individual? Are you a man and woman or woman of God that understands the times that we're in? Now, I'm not just talking about the general overview of time. I'm talking about the time that the congregation Beth David is in. Amen? Because we've got to get things squared away here. Then we can take this Central Valley. And then we can go beyond that. Amen? Next verse. "Among the divisions of Reuben, they made great resolutions in their hearts. But why did you stay at the pens for the sheep and listen to the shepherd's flute playing for the flocks?" Reuben said initially, yes, we'll go. They had strong resolution in their heart. They said, yes, we will go. We will fight with you. We will follow you, Deborah. Initially. But in the end, they chose not to go. They couldn't figure out, it tells us, what God was speaking to their hearts. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this the Lord? Is this not the Lord? Great resolution, but confusion. As a willing people, you've got to get the mind of God. Just as leaders have got to get the mind of God, we all need the mind of God. I don't want to take another step in my life without understanding the mind of God for my life and my walk. Because every time I take a step out there without following the Lord, I end up in trouble. Because there is a way that seems right to me. You know, I never try to do anything that I go in thinking is wrong. And yet I find myself in trouble all the time. Why is that? Because there's a way that seems right to me. And instead of really getting the mind of God, I go, okay, I've got it. And I step out. And after a while, I find out, oh, I'm on the wrong path. Anybody else ever do that? Now, don't lie to me. We all do that. That's common to all of us. So here in the congregation, you need to be asking yourself, am I really seeking the mind of God? Am I getting the mind of God? I want to make sure I know what is right. What is God? What is God doing in our midst today? Amen. Verse 17. Gilad lives beyond the Jordan. Lives beyond the Jordan. Gilad separated themselves from any trouble and from any kind of allegiance. Gilad was just a group of people that just didn't want to get involved. I want you to search your hearts tonight. You've got to be involved because God's called you here. God called you here for a reason and for a purpose, did He not? Are you a part of this congregation? Do you love this congregation? Do you believe in what this congregation is trying to do here in the Central Valley? Then you're a part of it. And it's no mistake that you're here. God's called you here. Did God know we were going to encounter problems? I think so. It was sure a surprise to us. But I don't think He was surprised. Do you? Absolutely not. He was not surprised. This is a time for us to rally. This is a time for us to fight the good fight. And this is a time for us to win this battle. Amen? You know, I love this story. Years ago, I heard the story about Cho, Paul Youngie Cho. How many of you are familiar with him? He's got the largest church in the world. He's got, last count that I heard, was 700,000 people in the seats. That's pretty good size in South Korea. And at the beginning of his ministry, he got sick. We heard him share his testimony one day in a conference we were in. He got sick. He was completely out of the church for 2 years. Before he left, the church wasn't growing. It wasn't doing anything. He got sick, ended up in the hospital, and the church just mushroomed. Because sometimes God will take a leader and place them on the sidelines. And how that happens, that's His business. But He will set a leader to the side because He wants the congregation to arise to the moment. Amen? To exercise their spiritual gifts, to flex their spiritual muscles, to stand up and say, we will not accept this. This is unacceptable. We are going to fight the good fight together. If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, how many can you put to flight? A lot. I can't go that high. But you can put a bunch to flight. And I'm talking about devils. Because our fight is not against flesh and blood. Amen? So we're going to get a hold of this new vision. And this vision is going to carry us forward. And this vision is going to inspire us. And it's going to put life into our hearts and hope into our spirits. And we're going to go forth in the name of Yeshua. And we're going to take back what the enemy has tried to steal from us. Amen? We're going to take it back. And don't you know that the Word of God says that when you catch the thief red-handed, you can claim back 7 times. Now, Kathleen and I happen to know that that works. Because we were ripped off in some money once. We prayed for a sevenfold return, and guess what happened? We got it. Amazing how the Word of God works. Let's stand on the Word of God. Amen. And let's go forth in the power and the strength that God has called us to. Let's not separate ourselves. If you're a part of this congregation, you are involved. I know you don't like it. You don't like it any more than anybody else. It's a bummer. But you're called by God. You were handpicked by God. Out of everybody that lives in the Central Valley, you were picked to be here. That makes you special. Amen. Look what he goes on to say here. He says, Dan, why does he stay by the ships? Dan is consumed with his own personal finance. That's the problem. He's just overwhelmed by business. He's overwhelmed perhaps by prosperity. He's overwhelmed perhaps just by the daily cares of the world and the things that are going on, and he doesn't have time to get involved in this fight. And I want to say to you, I want you to take time to get involved in this fight. That's what I'm asking of you tonight. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm begging of you. Get behind your leadership, take part in this fight, and let's get the victory. Amen? He goes on. Asher stayed by the shore of the sea, catching rays. Oh, remaining near its bays. Asher was content. They were content with the status quo. They were content with the way it had always been. They just didn't want to get involved. And isn't that a crying shame when the judge of Israel calls for the nation to rally for this fight and only a few people dribble in? How do you think those folks felt when they're standing before the Lord? I don't want to experience that. You know what I want my Lord to say to me? If I hear nothing else, I want Him to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's all I want to hear from my Lord Yeshua. Well done, good and faithful servant. I know I'm falling short. I know I don't do everything I need to do. But I just want to hear those words. Well done. You did a good job. You did your best. How many know that's all the Lord is asking? The Lord isn't asking for perfection from any of us. Look, He's smarter than that. Is He not? He's not asking for perfection. He's asking for Bruce's best. He's asking for your best. That's all. And you know, your best, don't you know your best changes from time to time as seasons pass and come and go in our lives? I mean, you might be up to your eyeballs today and the best you can do is this. That's all right. Just do it. Because that's your best. Remember the woman with the widow mites? She gave her best. It wasn't the most, but it was the best. That's what the Lord's asking from us. Don't be content with the status quo. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. The leaders at Beth David must be brave. They have inherited something that they were not expecting. How many understand that? Can you imagine yourself inheriting that? Let's talk about overwhelming for a moment. We've been working with the board, and their board meetings, one of the last ones they had, went till 4 a.m. They're pouring their hearts out. They're seeking God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. You can't ask for anything more than that. They are pouring themselves in to this thing that they've inherited, this thing that God knew was coming all along. And they're pouring themselves into it with everything they've got. And they need to be strong. They need to be solid in faith. So people, you need to be praying for their faith level. Because don't you know, faith is shaken when we get overwhelmed. When I get overwhelmed, my faith tends to shake a little. It's just how it is. You need to be praying for good, solid teaching. Because it's the Word of God that sets us free. It's the Word that we stand on. It's the Word that Yeshua Himself used to defeat the devil in the wilderness. It's not our anointing. It's not our charisma. It's the knowledge that we have and the willingness and the obedience to preach the Word of God without compromise. And let me tell you, there are many in the congregations of the world today that are preaching compromise, not the Word of God. And that is not the case here. Amen? And you can thank God for that. And you need to be praying that your leaders are solid in integrity. Anytime there is an integrity issue, the devil is going to come in. It is not a question of if, it is only a question of when. That's true for the leaders, that's true for you. We've got to be integritous people. Amen? And the people at Beth David must be willing. Like Issachar. Those who understand the times that we find ourselves in right now. Nobody wanted it. Nobody asked for it. And everybody that was aware of what was going on tried to avert it. But it didn't happen. So we find ourselves here. But that's all right. God has not abandoned us. God is with us. God knows the beginning from the end, does He not? God is still in control. He has not lost control. God has given you the leadership in preparation for this day. Amen. He has not left us orphaned or alone. He has been with us, and He will continue to be with us. Amen. Are you going to be a part of it? That's the issue. That is the big issue. One last final scripture. And then I want to do a couple things. If you can give me just a couple more minutes, I want to have the board come up here after this scripture. And I want to pray for them. That they'll be brave leaders. And after I finish praying for them, I'm going to ask you that are willing people to stand, and I want to pray for you because we've got a fight on our hands. Now, I don't know about you, but I come out of a background of fighting. And I know when you fight, I used to box in the Navy. And before a fight, you get toned up, you get ready. You practice. You get in there and you get working out. And we're in for a fight. But I think the safe money is on the congregation, not the devil. That's what I think. Amen. Last scripture, Judges 5, verse 2. When leaders in Israel dedicate themselves and the people volunteer, you should all bless Adonai. Somebody say, amen. Amen. I want to ask the leaders to come up here, the board, all the board members to come up here. And I want you guys to extend your hands as we pray for them, that they will be strong. I'm going to ask Kathleen to come and pray with me. Do you love these guys? I don't have any oil. Can you believe that? Does anybody have oil I can borrow? Who? Oh, wait, we got some here. Okay. won't make this in a big production, so don't worry. But I just want to pray over them that they will be the brave leaders that they need to be in this time. Again, they didn't ask for any of this. Sister, you got to refill this bottle.
Oh, I know. A lot of use.
I'm going to just start with Lynette. Why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord? Father, I just pray for Lynette right now as the ball, Lord, has really come into her court. And you know, that's all right because the Lord says it's your day. It's your time. He's equipped you for this day. He's called you for this day. He knew this day was coming. And He's with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will strengthen you in His might. And He has called you by name for such a time as this. So be brave. Be full of faith. Full of the Word of God. And full of integrity. I want to pray for Rick and Dawn. They are like a right hand, most useful. And I pray, Father God, that Your anointing will rest upon them, that they will be strong and brave in this season, that nothing will shake them. I thank You for the anointing over this couple in their worship time. I pray that You open their ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying, that they will lead this congregation into the Holy of Holies. Cause them to be brave, to be strong in faith, to be filled with the Word of God, and to be integritous all the days of their lives. I pray for Becky, that she will be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, that she will be brave, that she will be a woman of faith, a woman filled with the Word of God, and a woman of integrity, godly character. In the name of Yeshua, I speak the praise of Adonai over Jim. The Lord says, son, you've withstood many hurtful and disastrous and devastating issues in recent times. But you have stood firm. You have stood strong. You have been alive to my word and my plan. And the Lord calls you faithful, Jim, for you are faithful, a faithful man of God. And I pray that my brother Jim will be brave, strengthened in his faith, filled with the Word of the living God, and a man of solid integrity. I thank you, Lord. Pray for Judy. The Lord also says, I've seen your faithfulness and your diligence, your administrative skills, which I've given to you. Sometimes you don't think that they're that spiritual and that worthwhile, but the Lord says, I've gifted you. And I've given you the gifts that I've wanted to give you. And I've called you for such a time as this, says the Lord. Don't ever doubt that. And I pray for Judy that she will be a brave woman. A woman full of faith. A woman filled with the living Word of God. A woman of integrity. I bless that. And I pray for Jewel. For inner strength. Fortitude. I thank you for the gentleness of his spirit. For it tempers difficult situations. I thank you for his love and his compassion. For the mercy in his spirit. And I pray that he too will be a brave leader. A man of faith. A man full of the Word of God. A man of unshakable integrity. And I bless these leaders in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And I say, you have been called for such a time as this, says the Lord. It is no mistake that I have you in this position. For I have equipped you, and I brought you to this place in this time. You have arisen to the call, and I will not leave you. I will not forsake you, but I will stand with you, says the Lord God of hosts. And all God's people say, Amen. Put your hands together for your leadership. Give me a couple more minutes because I want to pray for the willing people. If this word is spoken to your heart tonight, I want to challenge you to respond. Are you like Issachar? Do you understand the times that we're in?
Yes.
Then you need to stand. You might be like Reuben, who said, yes, we'll go, but then had second thoughts. Because you just have a hard time figuring out what God is doing. Listen, you're not alone. I have a hard time figuring out what God's doing most of the time. We walk by faith, not by sight. But I'll tell you this, we trust God. We trust that He's in control. And we won't let go of that. So if you find yourself like Reuben tonight, that's not anything to be ashamed of. But you need to stand. You might be like Gilad, who wants to be separated from this whole mess. I wouldn't mind that myself. It'd sure be easier. But if you find yourself wanting to separate, I'm going to say to you tonight, you need to stand. You can't separate from this. God has placed you here. You're called to this situation. You might be like Dan, consumed with the cares of life. But I want to tell you, if that's you, you need to stand up. You need to get out of that mold of being so caring about your own life. It's more blessed to reach outside your life to give than it is to receive. And I'm telling you, this congregation, this leadership, I'm telling you, the Lord needs you. in this time. You might be like Asher. You're just content. You want to pretend like nothing's happening. If that's you, you need to stand. Because we will not be content with this. This is a violent, cruel, deliberate act of the devil against you. This is an assault on Beth David. This is assault against your dreams, your hope, your future. This is an attack and an assault against the plans that God has for you. An assault against the vision that God's given to you. And it's not acceptable. Why do I say that? Because it's not in accordance with the word of the Lord. And we will fight. Will you fight? We will fight. And so I want to pray over you that are standing. You're a great bunch of people. As I said earlier, Kathleen and I have fallen in love with this congregation. This is like a second spiritual home to us. I don't say that lightly. But God has done something, I think. At least from my side, from my posture, God has done something between us. And I don't take that lightly. I may live quite a ways from here, but I want to tell you, Kathleen and I are in the fight with you, and so is Shiloh congregation. And we will not leave you. We stand with you. Because I want to tell you something. I want you to be strong, because there will be a day when we're weak. And we're going to need you to come to our side. That's how it works. I've been in this business a long time. And I know how God and how things operate. The day will come once again when you're on top of the world. When, so to speak, you have the tiger by the tail. That day will come. I promise you. And so I want to pray over you. So just stretch out your hands to receive what the Lord has for you. Father, I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for this congregation of faithful, willing people. People who have a dream. People who have a vision. People who know the times. A people who know their calling. And a large calling it is, Father. A calling to set this valley on fire with the messianic message and the truth of the one new man. Father, I speak blessings over this congregation. I speak every spiritual blessing over them in the name of Yeshua. I speak every mental blessing over their mind and their emotions in the name of Yeshua. I speak every financial blessing over them in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And I speak every physical blessing over this congregation for health, to fight the good fight. I pray that your spirit will fall upon this congregation like never before. That the fire of God will ignite our hearts, and like Jeremiah, we will say, the fire of God is in my bones. And that nothing will hold them back. Nothing will constrain them. But they will go forth boldly in the power and in the strength and in the might of the Holy Ghost. That they will be bold in their testimony and integritous in their lives. I pray that nothing will stop this congregation from fulfilling the dream that you've placed in their heart. And we stand together tonight. And we say, bring our rabbi back to us in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back. We break the power of the enemy. We come against this assignment and this demonic assault. It is unacceptable in the name of Yeshua. And we commit ourselves to pray for him. To pray that God will apprehend his heart like he needs to do with every one of us. We pray that he will submit himself to the move of the Holy Spirit in his life. And that even while in his absence, Lord, you will apprehend him. And we wait upon you, Lord. We wait upon you. And we trust in you. And we commit. Will you commit tonight to help hold down the fort until that day comes? If you will, you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And all of God's people in one accord say, amen. Give God the glory. God is good. God is good. God is good. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He has put a dream in our hearts. And he has put a word in our mouths. And we will go forth in his power. We will go forth in his strength. And we will defeat the devil in this valley in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. 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 God is good.